Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts and wherever you stream your online content. We thank you for watching. We thank you for listening. My name is Nate Bucati, joined as always by Allie Trost and Carter Augustine. Allie, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well, guys. No complaints over here. Just my new coffee pods for my coffee machine came in this morning, so that was a huge plus. And also, this is funny. I don't know if I told you guys about this at any point during our quarantine episodes, but I accidentally, in one of my first grocery trips, like during this whole thing, and there's no toilet paper, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm out of toilet paper. And finally, I find like the last pack of toilet paper. So I'm pumped because, you know, you can't find it anywhere. Well, I get home and I find out, like, why does my bathroom smell like lavender? It's scented toilet paper. And at long last, after like 2 months, I'm finally almost out of the scented toilet paper and go back to normal toilet paper that won't make my bathroom smell like fake lavender.
So you're not sold. It hasn't gotten you to go, you know what? This is the way to go. Lavender toilet paper from here on out.
You know, it's not. And like, I had no idea that was a thing. So I didn't even think to check the packaging and make sure that it wasn't scented toilet paper. So that's kind of my quarantine update. Made me laugh this morning when I realized. I was like, what it like symbolizes such a weird time in my life. When I think back, I'll remember this scented toilet paper.
You have some bad memories tied to that scented toilet paper.
It's like, I'll be like, you know, 50 years, you know, from now, I'll be walking and like, I'll smell like lavender and I'll just have these like vivid flashbacks of 2020.
Well, that's what they say is like, you know, it's like my grandparents' generation, you know, it used to be, well, you know, grandma lived through the Great Depression. That's why she does some of the esoteric or eccentric things that she does. When we're grandparents, it's going to be like, why does Grandma Allie keep freaking out every time she smells lavender? Well, she lived through the pandemic.
It's like, just be kind to her. Like grandma, have her moment. Don't ever bring up wasting toilet paper around her because she'll tell you about the time that people hoarded it.
In our house, it's going to be, why does grandma keep wiping down the grocery bags with disinfectant wipes every time she comes home from the store? Well, you know, that's just how she was raised. So, Carter, what about you? How you doing, man?
No positive updates as far as toilet paper goes. So I'm just kind of hanging in there, but definitely happy to see the training resume for a lot of teams last week. That's been bolstering my spirits a little bit. And some people tried to get me to watch the Korean League this weekend. I couldn't do it, but I did look at some of the highlights, and there's some soccer happening, so that's pretty fun.
Yeah, the Bundesliga, I think, would be something we'd all get a little more into, probably just because we recognize more of the names, more of the players, those types of things. So I think we're hoping that theoretically will be this week, right? That gets started up. I know there was
May 16th.
Yeah, so Bundesliga 2 had a couple of positive tests on one of their teams. So we'll see. I mean, I think we're all kind of hoping and rooting for those things to go well and be a sign of things to come for MLS. And to that note, a couple of updates real quick. First of all, I'll lay out the menu of the show. We got a big show for you today. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with Sporting Kansas City midfielder and e-gamer Juan Cousin. He is in the EMLS tournament semifinals and hopefully finals, which will air on Sunday on Fox Sports 1. As basically you're looking at Sporting Kansas City against LAFC. It'll be Juan Cousin against Adame Diomande and then Alexander against Remy Martin. They play two games. It's a combined score thing. And then the winner gets to go on to take on Atlanta United and or NYCFC in the finals. So that's going to be fun. That's on Sunday at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk with Kuz about that coming up in the next segment. And then after that, we're going to talk with Roger Espinoza because he's back in training. The Sporting Kansas City players are all back in training. So we wanted to get his perspective on what's going on with the individual workouts that have been cleared now by MLS. That's the first big hurdle. We know how instructive Sporting Kansas City have been and how much of a pioneer they've been in getting this process going for MLS, and we'll talk with him about that in the next steps. So that's all coming up on the show. And I'm going to run down a schedule of programming for you. We got a lot of content coming your way on sportingkc.com, on Fox Sports Kansas City, FS1, MLSsoccer.com. If you want content, if you want games to watch, if you want things to enjoy, this week is going to be jam-packed, so we'll run down that schedule here in a minute as well. But guys, I wanted to start with an article that came last night from Steve Goff of the Washington Post. Now, this isn't the only article. It's just the one I'm choosing to kind of go off of right now. We're starting to see more and more reports out there about what it might look like if and when MLS get to playing. I think we have to couch all of this with there's a lot that has to happen to get this off the ground, whether it's getting the testing up to the capacity where guys – let's remember, we got to get guys on the field training as groups before we can even really focus on the idea of playing games and those types of things. But this is from the article of Steve Goff. He says, quote, with no indications of when it could resume its season in home markets amid the novel coronavirus pandemic, MLS has proposed placing all 26 teams in the Orlando area this summer and playing competitive matches without spectators at the Disney Sports Complex and possibly other locations, multiple people familiar with the plan said. Players, coaches, and support staff numbering more than 1,000 would live under quarantine at one of the large resorts near Walt Disney World for an undetermined length of time, said those people who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak on the matter. Teams would practice and play primarily at the ESPN Wide Wide World of Sports, which sits on 220 acres as a part of Disney's massive footprint in Central Florida. Disney-owned ESPN is one of MLS broadcast partners. Look, there's a long article there from Steve Goff. I will point out down towards the bottom as well, MLS does have some calendar flexibility. It talks about that there are multiple proposals as well. This isn't the only one. Among the MLS proposals is to select two or more geographic locations to stage workouts and matches this summer. We know we've heard from Peter Vermes that Sporting Kansas City or the city of Kansas City have put their hat in the ring, hoping to be possibly one of those targets as well. And he closes out by saying the scheduling plans come as MLS and the MLSPA continue to negotiate salary cuts for the players. The league, which relies heavily on game day revenue, sent its latest proposal to the union last week. So that's kind of where we are right now. It sure sounds from the articles we're reading like that idea of going to Orlando to the Disney complex and tying this in with ESPN is the front runner right now. But again, I think we have to point out that all these things are subject to change. These are just proposals at this point, and we've got a long way to go. But I think it's interesting, and guys, I can't remember, Carter, if you've been down there, but Sporting Kansas City used to go to part of their training camp down in Orlando at the Wide World of Sports. So I've had a chance to go down there and see the complex. Certainly a lot of fields in a small location. They've had competitions down there. Youth sports competitions that have been televised with multiple games going on at the same time. So the infrastructure's there. Carter, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on maybe the latest that we have heard from Steve Goff on this one.
Yeah, I've been down there as well. When Sporting was in the Eastern Conference, like you said, they used to train there in preseason. Obviously, they've got the facilities and a lot of fields to offer. I think the enticing thing there is with the ESPN part of the deal. And I think that seems to me what is a little bit of a piece in the mind of people making these decisions, and I think it should be, is if you have to have the big if, which we're talking about, if everything can be safe, there's a big opportunity for MLS to get a little bit more of the public eye if they are the first league to return in the United States. So I think they're trying to do that and potentially sequestering everyone away from everything else down there in Orlando could be a good way to do that. Obviously, us here in Kansas City, we'd much prefer to do the multi-city look, and Kansas City would figure stand to benefit from doing that, and would assumedly be one of the host cities. But listen, if the Orlando thing works out and the players agree to it, everyone can remain safe, and we get all these matches going and on TV, it could be a pretty good way to do this. As we all know, we're in uncharted territory here.
Yeah, Carter, I like what you said about, I mean, again, no league right now wants to return until it's safe. That is the biggest priority right now for not just Major League Soccer, but Major League Baseball, NBA as well. And then sports that are gearing up for a fall start, like the NFL and college football. So with that being the most important thing, to your point, it would be a big win for MLS if they're able to figure this thing out and get a a strategy and a structure in place that allows them to return sooner. But the biggest part in that is working with the MLS Players Association and making sure they're able to work out some of those logistics ahead of time. I'm with you in that the hope is Kansas City would be a potential host city if they do indeed split that up. But it does sound like Orlando has a lot of the infrastructure in place that would be necessary to have this work in not just the soccer side, but in the broadcast side as well. And as we know, one of the biggest parts in the return to sports is going to be how can people consume this? We can't have fans in the stands. The understanding for a lot of people right now is that this is all going to be behind closed doors. So figuring out the broadcast side is just as big a part of the equation, really, in terms of revenue goes. So it's going to be interesting. And again, uncharted territory. So everyone's going to be taking notes as to how leagues have dealt with this going forward to look back on, and in the event there's ever something even somewhat similar to what we're going through right now.
Yeah, and that article kind of examines what the league is going through with all the different states involved as well. And we saw Stephen Goff mentioned, I think, in the article that the Florida governor declared sports as a essential business, which allowed them to have a UFC event this past weekend. So the states that were mentioned, Texas, Kansas, and Florida, are among the first to reopen. But there's a lot up in the air still, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see where it goes from here. That's the latest on that. We've obviously got to continue to make progress, get the players. Now they're doing individual workouts, and not all the teams got on board with that right away, by the way. It started off with about 9 teams. I think that number is increasing as this week goes on. But once we get to that point where we can start having team workouts, maybe this becomes a little bit more of a realistic possibility. I want to now transition over to the content that we do have. And we've got some good stuff, and it starts – we're taping this, of course, on Tuesday. You're hearing it on Tuesday night on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Or if you're listening to it on the podcast, we're doing it on a Tuesday. So tomorrow, Wednesday, it starts with our latest edition of For the Cheers. This is Carter Augustine's feature with Kerry Zavagnin. This should be fun. You took down one of those Michelob Ultras with Jimmy Nielsen when I was watching that one. I was impressed. What can we look forward to with the Kerry Zavagnin episode coming up?
He's good. I mean, Kerry's always great to talk to. I love picking his brain. So it was a really fun conversation. We drink a few beers and have a few laughs. It's actually, I mean, it's Kerry. So he's going to be full of wisdom, and he's got a soccer brain that I think is fantastic. And I think sometimes gets overlooked when people talk about the Sporting Kansas City setup. And so always really fun to talk to him. So yeah, definitely tune in.
All right, so that's on Wednesday. You can check that out at sportingkc.com. Then on Thursday, we've got two games that you can stream on different platforms. First, on MLSsoccer.com at 3 o'clock, Sporting Kansas City at Real Salt Lake. Now, this is perfect because, as I'm going to get to in a minute, this coming weekend we're going to relive the 2013 MLS playoff run by Sporting Kansas City all the way up until we culminate with the cup final against Real Salt Lake. We're going to do some player commentary matches this weekend, which you really will want to check out. But on Thursday, MLSsoccer.com is doing some rivalry games. And this is a great precursor because the result of this game ended up really being what determined the fact that MLS Cup final was played at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City later that winter. It was July 20th, 2013. Sporting Kansas City got a big win at Real Salt Lake. The latest goal in Sporting KC history in terms of time on the clock, Ike Opara in the 97th minute, and Cal Williams with an all-time wonderful goal call in that game. So that will be a fun one, Carter, on Thursday at 3 o'clock to watch back.
Yeah, I actually remember a little bit about that game being there, and mostly about the celebration afterwards, not as much about the game. So my memory is a little bit fuzzy. But that was a good night out in Salt Lake City, that's for sure.
So that'll be fun. And then, of course, on Thursday at 7 o'clock on SportingKC.com, SKC versus St. Louis FC from June of 2015 in the U.S. Open Cup. As you know, that was the start of one of those magical Open Cup runs that would end in Philadelphia with Sporting Kansas City winning the Open Cup title. And, Allie, that is right in your face as a St. Louis native. What do you think of that?
I'm ready for it. You know, it's a nice little tease as we prepare for when St. Louis finally gets their MLS team here in a couple of years. And that's something, man, I'm so excited for that rivalry. I know, again, it's a little bit down the road, but just seeing how the St. Louis FC team traveled to Kansas City for some of the SWOP now Sporting KC2 games. It's a much smaller environment, but I think we're in for a real treat. So I'm looking forward to it.
It should be great. So you can watch that on Thursday night at 7. Now on Saturday at 7 o'clock, Sporting Kansas City's conference semifinal game, the second leg against the New England Revolution. That was a game in which a nice mustachioed Nate Buchady was on the sidelines, by the way, as a fill-in, trying to do my best Carter Augustine impression at that time. What to me, one of the epic matches in franchise history, and Seth Sinovic with one of the goals in franchise history, is that forced extra time. Sporting came into that down, I believe, 2-1 on aggregate, and they had to win, to get to extra time, and then Claudio Biela with the goal. That to me was what really propelled Sporting KC through the rest of those playoffs. So you can watch that one at 7 o'clock. That one's with no player commentary. That's just going to be the game itself. Then at 9 o'clock on Saturday, player commentary of the Eastern Conference Final, the second leg in Children's Mercy Park, Sporting KC against the Houston Dynamo. And I'm doing that one, player commentary with Benny Failhaber and Jacob Peterson. That's going to be fun. If you listen to Benny Failhaber do anything and you heard Jacob on the call with us on these first two games, those two guys will carry that show. They're going to tell stories. They're going to give you insight on the game and what they remember about it and what they remember about their opponents and all that stuff. That will be a lot of fun because that was an epic game. And then on Sunday at 8 o'clock and those are all on Fox Sports Kansas City, by the way, Saturday, 7 and 9 on Fox Sports Kansas City. And then Sunday at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports Kansas City, the 2013 MLS Cup Final against Real Salt Lake. And guys, I'm doing that one player commentary with the only two people who have ever painted the wall at Children's Mercy Park, Jimmy Nielsen and Matt Beisler. I'll tell you something, our producer Blake is going to have to go back and edit that one a little bit because Jimmy dropped some colorful language while we were doing this one. It was great. It was Jimmy. It was classic Jimmy Nielsen. I'm letting you know, we already taped this thing. It's going to air on Sunday. I had the time of my life watching that game back with those guys. Neither one of them had ever seen the game.
Wow.
Before. Neither one had gone back and watched it. Isn't that interesting, Carter? I was surprised too when I heard that.
That's very surprising to me. If I was one of them, I would have probably watched it four times in the first week afterwards. But I'm looking forward to this, man. That four players that you have for the two commentary streams is just unbelievable. I mean, Benny, what a run he had in the playoffs. I'm sure you guys will talk about the pass that he made to Dom, which is one of the most important and best passes in franchise history.
But he said it was the best pass of the best assist of his entire career.
I believe it, but we've also talked with him about the play he made in the New England game to lead to the Baylor goal, where he makes a tackle. And I think he had a joke about something about how everyone says he can't tackle, but he makes the tackle, drives down the field, and basically just puts it right on Baylor's foot to score the game winner in extra time after playoff Seth was born to even send it to extra time. And that place was absolutely rocking for the New England game, got louder for the Houston game, got colder for MLS Cup, but wound up with a wonderful celebration. So, I mean, that's outstanding that those four got together to help do this, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you, Allie.
Nate, can we get like a Last Dance style, the explicit version and then the clean version for this broadcast? Because I'm kind of interested in watching the maybe rated R version of this whole thing.
I'm telling you, Jimmy is a character. He's colorful as a personality, and he had some colorful language a couple of different times. And it was funny because a couple of times he caught himself and said, "Oh, I probably can't say that on the air." And then he went on to drop like two or three more, colorful words that you're not allowed to say. But I'm giving him credit. He is not from the United States. He is a native Danish speaker. So maybe, you know, which words you're allowed to say and not allowed to say in another language, even though he's been here for a long time. It was a lot of fun. He has just got so much personality. And he and Matt, they got to telling some stories about each other there's one that Jimmy told, and I don't want to give too much away because I want you guys to watch his game. But I don't know if you guys have ever heard the story of Jimmy Nielsen going to Peter Vermes' office to talk to him about a young Matt Beisler. And a young Matt Beisler who, for the most part, was on the bench at that time in his career. It's terrific. And I don't think Matt had ever heard the story either. So you got a chance when you watch this on Sunday of listening to two guys that were teammates, both guys that have been legendary captains for this club, actually talking about a game they've never watched before. That they both played in one of the high points of their careers. Jimmy, and I asked him, he said, that was the last game I ever played. I only watch film of games to get ready for the next game. So I've never had the motivation to go back and watch this game. And Beisler said, I don't like to dwell on the past as a player. I'm always focused on the next game. He doesn't like watching back the old games. He does it because it's part of the job to get ready for the next game. But there was no reason to go back and watch that one because it was the last game of the season. And so, but I'm with you, Carter. I'm thinking to myself, man, if I won something that significant, it'd be like my wedding video, man. I've been watching that thing like every year, like December 7th. It's time to watch the Cup Final again, baby. But, 100%. You know, for Matt's case, I guess his career's not over yet. So maybe he's like, maybe someday I'll go back and want to do that. But it was really fun to get to watch that with him again.
I'm kind of sensing a trend here because Roger had said when we talked to him about winning the FA Cup with Wigan Athletic, he said he had never gone back and watched it. Now the MLS Cup. Do players at that level, because again, none of us played professional soccer. Is that just a thing? Do pro athletes just not at any point until maybe they're far, far retired and removed, go back and enjoy those moments?
I was going to say, I can give Bees and Roger a pass for that. But, Jimmy, you've been retired a few years, man. You haven't right. gone. I mean, that was your last ever game. You didn't go back to relive, painting the wall and everything. Like, yeah, I'm not buying it.
And he played with a broken rib in those last two games and won a penalty shootout and made, some incredible saves that if not for him, we're not talking about them raising the cup in 2013. Possible generation gap issue here. Have either of you seen the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure or even heard of it?
I saw it in, middle school.
Right.
I think I've heard of it, but
Pee-wee Herman, you know who Pee-wee Herman was?
Yeah, I know who Pee-wee Herman was. I just don't know if I've seen this.
Well, at the end of the movie, they roll up and they're going to watch the movie of what had just happened through the whole movie. And Dottie, the love interest, says to him, aren't you going to watch the movie, Pee-wee? And he says he doesn't have to. He says, I was there, Dottie. I was there. See? So maybe it's
– Okay, yeah, there he is.
You were probably wondering where I was going with that, right?
Oh, I was going to say, maybe they remember it so fondly that they don't want to watch it back and get any sort of, like, anger or mixed feelings towards a memory that's so, like, great in their head.
I was going to say, I did and for the cheers, when I talked to Jimmy Nielsen, he said that he still sometimes will have vivid dreams of the stadium right before Eddie Johnson takes the final penalty in the Open Cup the previous year. And he said, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable how vivid this dream. He's like, I feel like I'm in the stadium still. And I look up and there's Eddie Johnson about to take the penalty. So maybe, they've got some stuff deep in there that they maybe don't have to watch it back, but I know I would watch it back just to have some smiles.
Well, you got a chance on Sunday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. That one's at 8:00 on Fox Sports Kansas City. Also on Sunday, the EMLS semifinals and finals, Sporting Kansas City with Juan Kuzain and Alexander are involved. That's on Fox Sports 1 at 5:00, so you can check that out as well. And on that note, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Juan Kuzain about that and getting back to training on the real soccer pitch as well, straight ahead on the Sporting Kansas City Show. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio, 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your video content. And look, maybe speaking of streaming, you're into streaming video games these days, because we have a special guest for you right now who not only is a professional soccer player, he is darn near a professional FIFA video game soccer player as well. EMLS is what we're talking about. I told you in the last segment that coming up on Sunday, we've got representation in the semifinals of the EMLS tournament that's going on right now with our own EMLS gamer, Alexander, and Juan Cousin, who joins us on the show now. We're having a little spottiness with the video, so I apologize to those of you that are watching us on the stream. You don't get to see Juan Cousin's beautiful face, but you get to hear his beautiful voice right now. Cous, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Nate? Thanks for having me.
Hey, so you are one of the featured players in this really cool MLS tournament that I have been watching as you guys have been making your way all the way to the semifinals now. And as I said, you partner up with Alexander now. That's his gig. He's a gamer. Mm-hmm. Your gig is you're actually a professional soccer player, but you're really good at playing FIFA on the video game system. And you will be taking on another fellow MLSer in Adame Diomande in the semifinals from LAFC. I watched you a couple weeks ago. You guys have been cruising your way through this thing so far. Tell me about just the overall process and what it's been like for you playing in this EMLS tournament.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I remember when I first got the invitation to do it, I was stoked. To play FIFA on national television is something I would have never thought of. And most importantly, you know, we're getting to help out all these charities who are doing amazing work during this time. So I think it's a win-win. But yeah, just me and Alexander have been able to do such a good job so far. And a lot of teamwork has gone in place for us to get to where we are at right now.
Cous, when were you first introduced to video games? What was like the first gaming system you had, your favorite games growing up? When did the start of this passion kind of begin?
Yeah, I think video games just growing up was always around, available. I talked about it before. I think my earliest memory of like a soccer video game was this game called Winning 11-9, which is now called Pro Evolution Soccer, PES. And ever since then, I believe I played that on the original Xbox. One day my brother brought that game home, and ever since then I was hooked playing that game 24/7.
What was it like seeing yourself on FIFA, considering that you've been playing video games for so long?
Yeah, that was also another dream come true. I think I finally got into the game like 2 years ago, and just, you know, being able to play as myself or play against myself with my friends is something, you know, that's really funny.
All right, so you said that the teamwork with you and Alexander has helped you get to this point. Can you maybe describe that a little bit more, maybe especially for old farts like me that don't quite fully understand this whole situation? Look, I grew up playing video games too, but this stuff is a different world compared to playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out when you're a kid. So how does the teamwork work? And maybe give us some of the strategies that have helped you guys be so successful in this tournament so far.
Yeah, so professional FIFA has a lot more to do with tactics than playing, I believe. So with Alexander, I have like one of the best people to talk about tactics and stuff like that. And just during the game when I'm playing, he's also in my ear and he's able to see what I'm doing, so he can give me feedback to see if I'm doing the right things or if I'm playing the right combinations. So with him on my side, it's really hard to, you know, not do well.
Cous, can we dumb it down just a little bit? Because I'm horrible at FIFA, I'll admit it. What are some of your, like, if you had to give three tips for someone who's just starting out or wants to get better, what would they be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say number one is stay patient. A lot of times, a lot of things...
I need to write these down.
a lot of times, a lot of things don't go your way, whether if it's a pass, a shot. But number two, I think it's being in control. A lot of times... you can let your opponent take control or even your emotions, which can get the better of you when you're playing this game. And number three, I would say, most importantly, just have fun. When you're locked up and stressed, you're not going to be able to play to your, you know, best potential.
I should have told my brothers that. They used to chuck the controller at the ceiling when they would mess up. And I'm not kidding. My mom, before we moved, had to go like patch up all the holes in the wall. So
I learned a new term from my nephews called rage quitting. Apparently that's a thing in sport and in e-gaming these days, right? You ever rage quit?
All the time. That's what I was talking about, emotions. If you let your emotions get the best out of you, a lot of rage quits happen.
Yeah, FIFA is a fun game, but also the most enraging game perhaps on the planet. I was going to say I've had a couple broken controllers in my day. I was wondering, Kuz, if you learned anything from me when we had our FIFA stream last fall.
For sure. I think just, you know, the duo of us and we went undefeated, right?
We did, man. We were killing.
Yeah, I mean, just being out there with you playing, you know, we had a lot of fun. And obviously, every time you get to play with someone new, you can learn a lot of new things.
How would you rate Carter's game overall? And you have to be honest here. We'll throw you right off this show if you don't give us an honest grading of Carter's game.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we went undefeated. And from what I saw, 1 out of 10, I would probably give him an 8, which is very
solid.
Hey, yeah. We had some good chemistry out there, man.
Yeah, there's nothing bad to say.
That's disappointing. I'm going to let you stay on the show, but that's a little disappointing, to be honest.
Just tell the truth.
You got to throw that in the Twitter bio, on the resume, put it down. Carter Augustine, 8 out of 10 FIFA player. Dash.
Oh, from Kuz. I'll tag you, Kuz.
Awesome.
Yeah. We talked about this on our stream, but who else on the team is good in terms of FIFA players? And I know you consider yourself among the top, and actually most of the other guys said you were the top. So I think that's probably why you got the call up to this competition.
Yeah, I think in FIFA terms, all the younger guys play it. And are probably the best at it. The Jalens, the Busios, the Daniel Shalouis of the world, I would say are probably like the top three on the team. Between them, they're going to hate me for this, but since last time I played all three of them, I would definitely have to say Jalen would probably come in a close second. And between Daniel and Boos, I'm just going to leave it at Jalen being second.
We've got Juan Cousin. And again, you need to tune in. It's really a fun thing to watch on FS1 on Sunday at 5:00. That's the EMLS tournament semifinals and finals, as Juan Cousin and Alexander representing Sporting Kansas City will be taking on LAFC. Another chance to have bragging rights over that brand new hotshot team out on the West Coast. So tune into that, because the commentary is fun to watch. It's really a good time. And you'll be impressed by watching it. So a couple of the things that I want to know about. Now, I played a little bit of FIFA with my son. Obviously, I'm not any good. But I am pretty impressed with, I guess, the realism of the game. But now you, Kuz, are a guy who has come up through the academy system of Sporting Kansas City. So you are very well drilled in the tactics of how Peter Vermees wants to play, how Sporting Kansas City want to play. You're in training with these guys. You play games with these guys. So you know how it really should look and feel. How true to what Sporting Kansas City is and wants to be is the game? I've always been curious about those things. Like when you sit there and watch, you go, nah, this isn't quite exactly right about us, or that isn't right, or how accurate is it really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely up to the person who's controlling the team. You can try to make it as realistic as possible. You could play the right formation, the right people, and definitely have your tactics set up to, you know, how SKC plays. I think I actually joked around during the first game against Tyler Miller and said, this is the Sporting way. And then I think after the game, Rodolfo, one of the commentators, asked me, Kuz, what is the Sporting way? And Tyler Miller just laughed. So that means anything. I guess I did kind of make Sporting KC look like the real Sporting KC, if anything. So yeah, I guess that kind of answers your question.
But do you find yourself playing like them, or do you start changing it up yourself quite a bit based on the way you want to play the video game?
I think for me personally, I change it based on who I'm playing and how they're playing, kind of to fit, you know, the FIFA game situation. But yeah, you could, like I said, you could definitely fit Sporting KC straight up in FIFA.
Okay, Kuz, what are your FIFA favorites? Go-to player, go-to team? What do you usually use if you're not competing and just playing for fun?
Playing for fun. I think the top team in FIFA, and it's like widely agreed upon, is probably PSG. Neymar and Mbappe are really good players in this game. A key word that a lot of FIFA players use is overpowered, OP. For short. So anytime you hear those words, you're like, oh yeah, these players are going to be pretty good. When playing for fun, you mean, I like to use teams that are generally not used, or that aren't, I guess, say 5-star ratings. Especially when playing against friends, it just makes it a little bit different, a little bit harder, and way more fun.
Can you name one of those off the top of your head? Like, this is kind of a fun team to play with that would be off the map.
Yeah, Everton.
Okay. Nice. The Toffees.
Yeah.
You're talking Carter's to a Liverpool fan in Carter Augustine. So whatever brownie points you got from loving his game up earlier, you just lost those, right?
Yep.
Right, Carter?
Definitely. This tournament has been pretty cool because isn't it a two-leg where you play the MLS player and then the MLS players from each team go up against each other? What's that been like to play one leg but then have to watch your teammate battle out in the second leg?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, I don't have that much, I guess, MLS experience, but I mean, just having it being two-legged and having me playing the first leg is really important, you know, to try to give Alexander any head start or heads up that he can get. So that was my goal heading into this tournament, to try to give Alexander a comfortable lead or something that he can deal with and not be too pressurized in.
So a couple of the questions I have, we once again have Juan Cousin joining us on the Sporting Kansas City show. You can watch him and Alexander taking on LAFC in the EMLS tournament and helping Feeding America, by the way, raise some money for a really good cause during this pandemic. 5 o'clock, Fox Sports 1. So one thing I noticed when I watched you guys last time around is your goals conceded record. That is something that back when Sporting Kansas City has had their most successful years, they've been locked down defensively. You guys have been locked down defensively. So I want to ask you what the key is to being so good defensively the way you guys have been. And the other thing is, in the finals, let's say you guys make it to the finals, you need one goal to win this thing. I'm not talking about what they're like as a real player in a real game. I'm talking about their MLS player. Which guy on Sporting Kansas City do you need to get the ball to if you need a match-winning goal?
Yeah, let's just starting off with the defense. I think, you know, I played Alexander a couple times before this tournament to kind of prepare for, you know, Tyler Miller in Minnesota. And the first thing that he said was that my defense was really, really good. And I agreed with him because for me in FIFA, if you have a really good defense, it kind of translates to the offensive end just from turnovers and being able to, you know, read your opponent. So when he said that, it boosted my confidence up so much. Just to, you know, have one of the best pro FIFA players say that about you meant a lot. So, yeah, my defense has always been pretty, you know, decent at the game. And obviously Alexander's is really, really good. And if there was a time in need to get one goal, especially in the finals, that ball would go straight to Durso. No hesitation about it.
The legend.
He's been tearing it up in that when I was watching you. He's awesome in this game.
Yeah, he's filthy. In real life and in FIFA. But in FIFA, he's definitely my go-to guy.
Kuz, we were talking in your press conference a couple of weeks ago about your pregame process, like how you get ready for a match. And you said it's very similar to how you get ready for any normal game. Has that changed it at all since you've progressed through this tournament?
I think now I would have to do something about my hands, because before every game now in this EMLS tournament, my hands were sweaty, shaking, and it's something I obviously never experienced before. I think Rachel Bonetta asked me before the first game, and she heard me talking to Alexander. I was like, Alexander, my hands, I don't know why, but they're so sweaty. And then that was the first question she asked me. It was like, Kuz, are you sure you're ready? Or you seem a little nervous. And I was like, yeah, I'm really nervous. I don't know what's going up with me. Because, I mean, it's just like another FIFA game. But I guess with the cameras and playing on national TV, it just gave it a little bit of a different atmosphere.
That's Mom's all. Spaghetti. I'm thinking of that song from Palms Are Sweaty. Mom's Spaghetti. You got to do the LeBron James thing. Get that talc. Get the powder.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Toss it up in the air, and then you're ready to go.
For sure.
Hey, there's real soccer to be talked about as well, Kuz, which I know we're all excited about. Just the first step back. You guys are going back to training, and I will admit I missed it. Now I'm really mad I missed it. Carter pointed out to me that you were on SportsCenter. Because Sporting Kansas City is at the forefront of getting MLS back into training on an individual basis and all that. So tell us about what that process has been like. First of all, how nice is it be to get to actually go back to the facility and maybe describe for us what those days are like right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome finally to just be able to get on a field and go to the facility and not having to be able to stuck at your home all day. It's definitely a different process than what a lot of us are used to. The first thing we have to do when we arrive is obviously wear a mask And then when we get out of our car, we have to get our temperature taken and I think oxygen levels to just make sure none of us have anything or are sick or anything along those lines. We also do like a nightly log to make sure that we're not going anywhere that's, you know, has things or anything along those lines. But yeah, just being back out on the field with, you know, fitness coaches and coaches like that is awesome. Just them being able to, you know, take us through our paces and just being able to touch a ball again. A lot of us, you know, didn't have, you know, the best of places to go to, you know, touch a ball. We might have been able to, you know, jog on the streets or go around a park, but it's nothing like, you know, being able to touch a ball again.
One thing we've talked a lot about with Peter is just when you do come back, when MLS does return, how the hardest part will be the fitness aspect, not as much the technical part. How would you assess your fitness at this point? You've been doing a lot of this from home and in quarantine, and then now with the individual workouts, where do you feel like you're at?
Yeah, it's definitely different because soccer fitness is so much more than, you know, just jogging and running around. It's a 90-minute game with cuts, jumping, sprinting, and a lot of that stuff. So I think one of the first few days back when we incorporated a ball into our fitness, it was like way different. A lot of us came back sore and a little bit tired, but it was good. It was definitely good. And you could tell a lot of us definitely did our, I don't know what you want to say, quarantine workouts over the, you know, quarantine break. So a lot of us and most of us did come back really fit and ready to go.
Well, go ahead, Carter.
I was just going to say, what was it like having you getting your temperature taken on a leading sports center? And did you get anyone asking about your little spotlight there?
To be fair, I didn't actually know I was on sports center. I did know that MLS posted about that, and I did get a couple of comments from that side. So from that point, it was pretty cool.
Well, hey, Kuz, it's really cool that you're in these semifinals on EML. Hey, you're representing us right now. And anytime Sporting Kansas City is involved in something, we want to be the best.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you. We're proud of you. We're excited that you're back in training on the pitch as well. And hopefully we'll be talking about you playing some real games pretty soon. But good luck coming up on Sunday in the EMLS semifinals and finals.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Juan Cousin. Again, 5 o'clock Sunday, FS1. You can watch him and Alexander representing Sporting Kansas City in the EMLS tournament. We're going to take a break. Hey, look, Carter's getting those. He's got those thumbs ready. His palms never sweaty, by the way. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with veteran Roger Espinoza about what it's like to get back on the training ground as well right after this on the Sporting Kansas City show. And we're back with more of the Sporting Kansas City show. We just had Juan Cousin on the show, and now we're joined by Roger Espinoza, veteran for Sporting Kansas City, as training has resumed, at least on an individual basis right now. And most of the teams in MLS are starting to kind of get on board here, but we know Sporting Kansas City, they were the organization that kind of put the game plan out there for how we could do this, and they were the first ones back at it. So to talk about a lot of that stuff with us right now is veteran Roger Espinoza. Roger, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show.
So what is it like? Just describe emotionally everything, what it was like for you walking back out now at what we call Compass Mineral National Training Center to be back at the facility. What was it like?
Amazing. Just because, I mean, happy to see all the guys. Excited just because, I mean, we know during these tough moments, I mean, being home can get you a bit tired. You know, although I've been working out and doing all these things, I mean, it's great when you have someone kind of guiding you in a way and where you should be shape-wise. And, I mean, just to get to see the teammates and going back to work was special. It's a great feeling. It was even a little better than preseason, actually. It felt a little better than preseason to me. But yeah, it's great. I'm happy that, you know, something got done and it's going right.
What was the strangest part of the whole thing? Because we've seen the pictures, we've seen the videos, you're getting your temperature taken, the mask. Was there a little bit of a feeling of discomfort those initial times showing up to the facilities and having to go through all of those steps, or what was that experience like?
I mean, it's great. You get to show up 5 minutes before practice starts. You just walk into practice instead of being there 2 hours before in the morning. But no, like you're saying, it's definitely difficult because you don't know. We never have experienced this before, so it's kind of difficult. You don't know how, you know, to maintain your distance and stuff, but you want to do everything right. You want to be safety for everybody else. So, so you know that from far away you get to talk and everything, but it's, you know, you want to do everything right. And that's why we're being very careful and taking all the measurements. And, you know, so that was kind of difficult at the beginning because you don't know exactly what the steps were, but I mean, everything is laid out for us. So it was not much we had to worry about.
What's that part been like? You talk about, you know, maintaining your distance, but you're seeing some teammates here in little groups. First of all, you know, if you can, I guess, I don't know if you guys can tell this, but which teammates have been in your group and what's that been like interacting, although you have to keep your separation still?
Yeah, well, first of all, they send, being one of the older guys in the team and being here for a while, they give you seniority and you get to pick what time you get to go in the morning. So obviously I didn't want to go at 7:55 in the morning or too late. So I just picked the show up at 9:25. So that made it very easy. So you can see the guys with the most seniority going to pick that schedule right there. So pretty much the guys have been here a while is the group I got put together with, or we picked that time. And then the younger guys go earlier. And some of the guys are not morning people, go later.
So obviously, Roger, the next step is to do small group workouts, and then hopefully we get to the point where you're in full team training, and then hopefully we get to the point where we're playing actual games again. And we're at that kind of weird stage right now where you see little reports getting floated out here and there about what could possibly a return look like. Could it involve the whole league going down to a place like Orlando and playing, things like that? I'm not going to ask you to comment about any of that stuff specifically because we don't know what is going to end up shaking out. But I guess I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on, as a player, how willing are the guys to go do something different if it requires going somewhere to play? And, I mean, this is what you guys do for a living, so I'm sure you're excited to get back out and play in some capacity. But what are your thoughts overall on just how many different scenarios are out there right now and what it could look like?
Yeah, it's hard to speak for everybody else because I don't know exactly what's inside everybody's mind. But personally, I mean, if it's safe to go this, if it's Orlando, like you said, and it's very safe, I mean, I love playing soccer. I love the game, and that's what I'm here for. So if that's the case, we have to go play. I mean, I can go play anywhere. But at the end of the day, you got to understand, I mean, I don't have kids. I'm not married. You know, I don't have anybody, you know, that stays at home, you know, especially the guys with families. That makes it a lot difficult for them living for a while and leaving the kids behind. So you a little bit got to think about them. I mean, for me, I can just get up right now and have my parents come pick up my dog or something, and then I'm out to Orlando if that's the case. But it's hard now when you have to think about your family and all that. So we got to look into all the steps, and first, safety is first. So it makes it a lot difficult. But one thing for sure is we're preparing for whatever comes next.
Roger. Would you lobby to see if they'd let you bring Cholo with you?
I mean, I always ask. We'll see. I asked for preseason, so now this time I'll ask. But yeah, I mean, it's something that it's very tough for me to leave my dog. Imagine people with kids. Yeah.
Hey, we got to get Cholo some priority boarding passes, get him on that first class boarding. But as Nate mentioned, Roger, Peter Vermees was really at the forefront of pushing for the individual workouts and getting that as something that you guys could all get involved with in the last week. What has Peter Vermees's, I guess, just attitude been like during all this? He was telling us on the sporting show a couple weeks ago that he was getting cabin fever. He was just ready to get back to work in a bit more of a normal setting. What's it been like working with him, and what's his attitude been like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, that Sporting is just one of the clubs just because the facilities we have, it allows us, I think it's, I mean, to be as safe as you can be. And so when that came out and, you know, and that he was able to come out with this new strategy, it's great. I mean, Peter is a coach that's coming with new stuff every year, you know, like methods of playing tactically and stuff. And, you know, he wants to do everything the right way. And that's why we have this brand new facility, because things like this, I guess, we weren't planning for this, but I mean, it allowed us to kind of go into practice and be as safe as we can be. So it's great. And I mean, every day we're improving and we're trying to make it better for everybody, not only for the players, but everybody who works the facilities. I mean, even for media at the end of the day, you know. So it's great that this has been done. Hopefully, you know, we can stay as safe as we can.
How you been holding up? We talked to you, I think, the first week that this started. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would imagine that getting back on the field was a big boost, but how have you been holding up otherwise?
Fine, man. My days actually go pretty fast. You know, go train in the morning, and, you know, by the time when you go training, you come back home, you're very tired, and then you either talk to family, and I mean, it's just like any other day when I get to go to practice. I'm home in the afternoon. So, I mean, I'm sleeping a little more, so I'm able to get up a little later. And then by the time I get home, it's already 1 or 2. And then, I mean, stay around the fields and kick the ball around. So that just around 2, I'm already tired talking to family. But by that time, it's already late and you get to go to bed again. So it's gone pretty fast for me. But yeah, it's good. Other than that, I just had to cut my hair on my own, or my girlfriend cuts it. So that's the only difference.
Roger,
just,
you
just
said
going with the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
I like it.
You said a couple of weeks ago, you had a press conference with the media. You said that your cooking was really struggling. Have you seen any progress in the kitchen during this time?
Oh, I'm better. I went to get a new grill too. So I'm a lot better now.
What are you making?
I'm a lot better. And mostly chicken and steaks. That's it. Don't ask for more. That's the easiest.
You got to walk before you can run, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got Roger Espinoza here. And I was telling you this before we started the segment, that I've been having a lot of fun taping these player commentary matches. We just did one with you and Daniel Shalloway last week, where we had some fun telling some stories with that some of your former teammates were bringing up. And then this week I've been taping some. We're gonna on Sunday relive the 2013 MLS Cup run. And your former teammate Jimmy Nielsen was telling stories on you, man. I don't know what it is. All your teammates, former teammates, are coming out and giving us all these great Roger Espinoza legends. Right? What's going on, man?
Hey, there's many stories out there. I mean, you see these guys every day, especially in preseason when you get to have roommates and stuff. I mean, it's difficult, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all for fun, and I still keep a great relationship with the majority of the guys that play here with me, especially Jimmy Nielsen. I'm mad at him now though for telling stories.
it's fun. I will. That's a plug. I don't want to give the story away. So you want to watch this commentary, because Jimmy and Matt both tell a bunch of really funny stories, as do Benny Failhaber and Jacob Peterson for the conference final as well. But I will say this, this is flattery, but when they were telling that story, Jimmy Nielsen, unprompted, said, Roger Espinoza is one of the greatest teammates I've ever had in my entire career. And Bees jumped right in and said, everybody would agree with that. Hey, man, those are peers of yours. What does that make you think when you hear them saying stuff like that?
That's good, man, because I show up every morning and they don't act that way. They don't even talk to me. They don't even talk to me in the morning. They just hide. They don't even want to say hi or good morning. Now, those guys are great. I mean, we all know that. And, you know, for people that, you know, think that guys don't get along, I mean, obviously in the field, we all have our expectations and we want to do well, and you want to win championships, and that's what we're there for. That's what they pay us for. And so on the field, you know, you get to this competitive mind and it gets very difficult, and sometimes you get frustrated, but you get frustrated because you think one way and your other teammates thinking the other way. And that's why you go to practice every morning to get things right. I mean, every year we've been coming in and out and try to do things well in Kansas City. Sometimes it doesn't work, but that's what sets up the competitor on the club. And sometimes, I mean, there's many stories, not only me, it's a lot of guys. So they just happen to be me this time they're talking about.
Well, I think there's something about this whole pandemic that has caused everybody to want to come out and kind of tell stories and relive the past. And we're all watching a lot of this. I think you are. Are you watching the Jordan documentary? It's the last.
Absolutely. Dance. Yes. Absolutely.
So you watch one of the greats like Jordan. And I think it's just, anytime you see somebody who's great at what they do, you want to hear what's in their mind, what makes them tick, what motivates them. And I think that part about listening to Jordan talking about the way he interacted with his teammates and the way he was driven and motivated, and listening to his peers talk about that too, has been fascinating. So I guess for you, obviously an insane competitor, your teammates have talked about those things. As you think about yourself, where does that come from with you? Like, where did you get that drive, that competitiveness that you take out onto the field and practice and in games every day?
Yeah, the thing with Jordan is that he's very competitive. I think there's a lot of athletes just as competitive as Jordan. It's just that he is also really good. So that makes it a lot easier for him. But, I mean, I have teammates. I mean, the majority of the teammates or everybody, I mean, it's so competitive. But, you know, it's very difficult to be that good too. It's, you have to practice every day. I mean, there's guys that are very dedicated. And for me, I mean, I don't know. It's just something that I have. You know, I always wanted to work hard. You know, I knew that I had some talent when I was younger, but there was always people pressuring me. And my parents don't even know where it comes from, because my parents are definitely not even close to how competitive I am or my siblings. But must have been my brother when I was little just picking on me every day. So that probably set the standard high. But yeah, I mean, I'm not the only one. Like I said, there's a lot of teammates that are very competitive and are helping the team to get to the next level. And hopefully, you know, it works and we keep getting people like that. But at the end of the day, I don't know where it comes from. Just when I get in the white lines, I know that the expectation at this club are very high and we need to win. And that's the only thing I want to do every time.
Roger, another aspect of your game that maybe is a bit more of an off the field thing, and something that Vermees has talked about and some of your teammates as well, is how much of a glue piece you are and a bridge for new players joining the team to help them feel comfortable with the rest of the guys on the team. Where did that come from, and how much of it is just natural for you to help people feel comfortable and help them integrate into a new environment?
Yeah, I mean, off the field is completely, totally different than in the field. I don't want to be your friend in the field. I want to be your best friend outside the field. I want to go have dinner. I want to go have coffee. But no, I think I'm lucky because I'm able to speak English and Spanish, a little bit of English, but better Spanish. And I think that's easier for me. I can communicate with both groups, and that's what links me between the American guys and the Hispanic guys. And now, since I had done that even when I was in England, or even the national team when they came to the United States, or we went to other countries, just because the majority of the country speak English. So I was able to create that and build that relationship and communication with me. So now I'm able to use it here even with guys that don't speak English, like Gotti. And I know the club. I know what sporting expectations are and know what the core values of the club. So it's pretty easy for me to go and try to explain it to Gotti. And trying to get him into the swing of things right away.
So you've been watching The Last Dance. Did you watch any of the Korean League when it came on this weekend? And are you planning on watching any Bundesliga to get some soccer fix?
Yeah, I didn't watch anything. I just read an article from the kid who's played at Vancouver before. I was in Vancouver and went to South Korea.
Daniel Henry, is he over there?
Yeah, remember. Daniel Henry, yeah. I read an article about him, about how he feels the safest over there and how they were ready to start, but first he didn't know what was. So it looked like they were ready. I don't know what the outcome has been, but I know the Bundesliga, there's a little hesitation, but hopefully it goes well for them so we can kind of figure it out. But we can also learn from that and make it better here.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, what we're all doing. We're watching that, hoping they have success. Hoping that maybe is a blueprint and indicator that we can do the same thing here really soon, because I think we're all in the same boat as you, Roger. I mean, I am married and I do have kids, and I don't know, we don't know what the situation would be with the announcers if they'd ask any of us to go down there or something like that happened, but sign me up if I can. I mean, it puts strain on your family and all that, but this is what we do, right? I mean, this is where we make our living. This is our livelihood. And, I'm ready. If it's safe and if it's responsible, I'm ready to get back to it. So we all hope that's the case. And we appreciate your time. We're glad you're back out on the field too. And hopefully we'll see you here in a group setting here pretty soon. Thanks for the time, Roger.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. There's Roger Espinoza. Yeah. We'll be back to wrap things up on the SKC show right after this. All right, back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. And we wrap up with our goals to Google, hashtag goals to Google, as we're all trying to give you goals to look back on and enjoy in time. So for me, guys, I'm going to start this time because I just saw earlier today before we started this that Netflix is coming out with a movie based on the 1999 U.S. Women's National Team game. I still remember where I was watching that final against China and the penalty shootout and all of that stuff. A bunch of my buddies had gone to Grand Lake, and they all went out to go like water skiing and stuff. And I stayed at the cabin because I wanted to watch that game all by myself, and my friends couldn't understand it. I'm not going to go with anything from that actual game, though, but I thought, you know what, I need to come up with a goal to Google from 1999 and from the U.S. Women's National Team. Because I know, if I remember correctly, that Mia Hamm is a hero of Ali Trost's over there, I'm giving you the May 22nd, 1999 goal against Brazil. She went nutmeg on the goalkeeper, and that made her the all-time goal-scoring champ in world history at the time. So maybe not because of the quality of the goal necessarily, although I love a nutmeg for a goal, because of the historical value of it, that's my goal to Google for this week.
Nate, mine kind of has the similar thing, but just in a different era of U.S. women's soccer, and that's Alex Morgan scoring her 100th goal against Australia on a friendly, just in complete Alex Morgan fashion, overpowers a poor, unsuspecting defender, and then just books it towards the net. There's no stopping her, puts it in. But my favorite part about that 99 game, and it's not a goal to Google, but more of a almost goal to Google, is when Christine Lilly had the goal line clearance, head ball, to really, I mean, save the game. That, like, is something that I always go back and watch because she's a little bitty like myself. So I remember watching that and just thinking, like, what a huge moment. And, like, she's talked about it in depth. But that's, like, another moment from the Women's World Cup 99 game. Not a goal to Google, but a almost goal to Google that was in the U.S.'s favor.
And congratulations, Alex Morgan and Servando yes. Carrasco on the birth of their baby. She was out there still scoring goals and stuff, like 8 months pregnant. So
and, yeah.
That baby better have some real talent, you know?
And that's why that was, I forgot to mention that, but that's why I picked Alex Morgan to welcome little Charlie into the world. I'm sure we'll be watching her tearing up some opposing teams on mm-hmm. the on the national level and international level too in the next, what, 20-something years?
Yeah, congrats to Alex Morgan and Servando, who a brief SKC player and yep. honestly one of the nicest guys I've had the pleasure of meeting over my time at SKC. So definitely wishing them congratulations on their new baby girl. And what was the Alex Morgan goal again that you had?
It was her 100th goal. It was in an international friendly against Australia. Put him up 1-0. Nice.
Definitely going to Google that. And I also remember where I was for the 99 game. And embarrassingly, me and my friends got on our bikes after they won and, like, started riding through the neighborhood yelling, USA wins, USA hey. Wins, as a little 10-year-old nerd of.
Yeah.
So looking forward to doing that one as well. Mine is a shout-out to Kuzain. It's the 2018 goal of the season in the USL, which I had the pleasure of being on the call for. So I guess this is a little a pat on the back for myself as well. But free kick, I think he had three that year, yeah. An Uckler, and really started coming on fire with the free kick deliveries. And it's against Tulsa, 2018 USL Goal of the Year from Kuzain. It's a belter.
I remember that one. Did that one make SportsCenter? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think I wanted to be number two on SportsCenter that week.
I remember like that. Yeah. That was like a great stretch for Kuz that 2018 year. And then can't remember which game it was when he got his first MLS goal too.
Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's what it was.
Yep. Well, hey, our thanks to Kuz for coming on the show with us, Roger Espinoza as well. And that's going to do it for us. We'll see you again next week. For Ali Trost, for Carter Augustine, this is Nate Bucati saying thanks for watching and listening to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show.